Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. This is the After Hour segment, and we've got Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cookers with us today. This is where we can talk about stuff that doesn't go on the radio, Noah. So this is kind of what we were talking about last week, which is all good.
Good deal.
You know, in the regular show, you brought up about corporate greed and all that. And I want to take that one step further. We don't need to name any names or anything. That doesn't do anybody any good. But I was really shocked and kind of a looking back last, 3.5 years or whatever, to see, especially in the barbecue business, and this is what you and I were talking about, some of these larger companies had a huge amount of inventory because they looked at COVID like it's never going to go away. The pandemic was never going to go away. People were going to be locked up in their homes for years and that type of thing. And obviously they've never been if they thought that way, that was a mistake in my thinking, because people are pretty resilient and they don't want to be cooped up and they'll only take so much of things, and we don't need to talk about it, but it's that way across the whole landscape of politics and in human life. And especially in this country now, people are kind of fed up with things like that. But I was surprised about, and Leanne can attest to this too, we're talking about influencers and things like that. I noticed a lot of companies got rid of quote unquote the professional people, went to influencers. And then as that has kind of started to run its course a little bit, it'll never go away, but as it started to run its course, they got rid of some of those influencers. And I noticed now they're all going back to or getting involved in the online, like you were saying in the regular show, discounts. I can't turn on my computer every day without getting pummeled by a barbecue company or a pots and pans company or something like that, because that's the business I'm in. I look at them all the time, so I get inundated with these ads. I would have thought, and this is what I wanted your take on, I would have thought people would have had a little more farsightedness to say we need to temper our reaction to the COVID pandemic in that as we go forward, instead of going, hey man, this is going to last forever. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's
He's
a lot
thinking
to unpack
about
too.
It. Yeah, I know. I know about it.
I think that the best way to put it is, our culture and our country is, we're our own worst enemy by far.
Yeah.
We will, there's other cultures that are much better at dimming the lights and conserving and riding out the hard times. And we are the exact opposite of that, to the extreme. We are not okay with dimming the lights. We are not okay with holding out, but we're also, and history has proven, we have to get hit in the face with a 2x4 for us to realize, whoa, okay, that hurt. And then because of the key word here, we have a sense of humor, we're able to always rebound back. And, if you look at, some of the things that makes our special forces community so amazing is the fact that they have a sense of humor. I think other cultures and other other countries, and they don't put that sense of humor lens on it. And the sense of humor is what gets you through really hard times. And right. So, you know, I think that we'll ride right up to the wall, and then, you know, hope that there's another plan or, you know, a bailout. I mean, there was a lot of people very skeptical of, you know, is our country going to go into a recession? And so far, somehow we've seemed to avoid it. You know, you could talk to certain people and they'd say, well, no, we're not out yet. Here's X, Y, and Z of what's still looming that we haven't dealt with and what's coming back. But, you know, it that sense of humor makes us so resilient. And, you know, the Fed raising the interest rates, I mean, we needed to slow down. Mm-hmm. And things were way out of control. Mm-hmm. You know, I worry about shipping costs. Those are things that, you know, we still have an election coming up. And, you know, again, doesn't matter what side you sit on, the winner will not have won and the loser will not have lost. That's going to be the bottom line. And you're going to have a lot of, you know, discontent and things. And so we got to get over that. But, you know, those things, like it or not, have a serious effect on trade and shipping costs and what, you know, what container costs will do.
Right.
And which ultimately drives up, you know, anything that's made in China or overseas, which is most everything, is driven by those kinds of things. So, you know, I think all we can do is, you know, each day be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, we're doing the right things by the consumer. We provide a good quality product. We're fairly priced. We offer, you know, a good fair margin to the retailers that want to bring the product in and care about boots on the ground. But that's, you know, that's also been a landslide of, you know, through COVID. And even before that, it's put the retailers in a really interesting spot. Then the retailers aren't quite sure which side they want to be on. Do they want to sell things online, or do they truly want to be there to support the customer when they walk in the door and have something there and, mm-hmm. and give a reason? And that's something we've recently taken a different approach to the retailers and said, you know what, let's make the investment and dip even further into our pocket on margin to give the retailer a really good margin and the ability to give someone the reason to, you know, they literally undercut us online and they give that customer, that local person, a reason to drive down to the store and actually buy it versus just having it delivered. So, you know, we're trying that with the retailers, but the caveat to that is you can't just go online and sell it for, you know, an undercut, because you're essentially screwing over all the other retailers that are trying to make a living doing that.
Right. No, it's tough. I mean, I know that my family's history, they had a retail store for 20 odd years, and they got lucky in one respect, is the fact that the internet wasn't around when they finally retired, closed it down and all that stuff. So they didn't have to do that. Their idea of a sale was you put an ad in the local newspaper and that, you know, that was fine. That's what people did in those days. But now with the push of a button, you can hit millions of people, and whether they're local or not, and you can say, you know, whatever you want in the ad. Anyway, I just find it kind of interesting. Just the way, and we're all focused on the barbecue business and the grill business and stuff. And so I just find it interesting the way some of our manufacturers handled that. I think maybe they didn't know any better. I don't know. Maybe they'd never been through something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think, and you try to remember certain key points. You know, everything that happens, it seems like if it's bad or good, I try to make a mental, you know, imprint of it to be able to tell my kids either now or down the road. And we talk to our kids all the time, and there's, you know, there's adults that tell us your kids, you know, we have a better conversation with your kids than most adults. And it's like, well, if you only heard the conversations that we have with them, but you know, there's, yeah, we've always had grown-up conversations, and I think that, you know, COVID, it forced companies to make some really hard decisions, you know, much greater than just, you know, general layoffs and downturns in the economy. I can't imagine a time when companies so over forecasted their products and consumer goods ever. Yeah. And all of a sudden there was no place for it to go. The consumer wasn't buying, and what are they going to do with it? And, you know, and it's easy to point the finger at the purchasing agent or the CEO ultimately responsible, or should be. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there was more than one did it. There was a lot. And they thought, you know, this tremendous growth is going to keep going. And for some companies, it did, you know, it did continue to go, but in any case, if it doesn't stay that way, you either grow to a, you know, it's like an engine, and whether you're offering a service or manufacturing a good, that engine's got to get bigger, and it's more costly to keep that engine going to support that growth. And when it slows down, it's tough, you know, we always say you never, with your manufacturer or anything, you never want to completely turn off the hose. You know, you want to try to find a way to keep, maybe you don't have it on as much, but you got to keep it down to a slow, steady flow. Otherwise your network, your everything walks away, you know, employees, people to work, suppliers, you're not, you know, everything shuts down at that point. And that's happened for a lot of, it is happening for quite a few companies, and some hopefully have been able to figure out ways to dim the lights a little bit. And, you know, and I think, and like what we've done, we've reduced costs significantly. We've, you know, scaled down so that we can still provide our product but be ready for when things turn up again, we can, you know, we can plug in that bigger engine.
Yeah. Leanne, well, you've worked with a lot of different companies over the years. You don't need to name them for everybody, but what's your overview on this?
I mean, I agree. It was over forecasted, but people wanted to be prepared. COVID really just changed business as a whole and for the consumers. I do feel, however, we're coming out of it, and inventories, I think, are starting to decrease, and people are having new game plans without, I think people are nervous and they aren't over projecting. They just don't want to be caught again.
Right.
So, better safe than sorry is the motto, I think.
I think so. I like I said, I just, if you look at stuff through a historical lens, as Noah was talking about, you could see that COVID wasn't going to go on forever. And the upshot of it was they kind of opened some new fields. The offset set of that was the over forecasting. So maybe we all learned our lesson on that. All right, let's do some fun things here. So no, I've been talking to you for what, 6 years or something like that now. What is the most disastrous thing you've cooked since I've known you in one of your pit barrels?
That was your fault, a fun question.
Yeah, this is your fault, not the pit barrel.
Noah, how much fun are you having now?
Well, I can tell you definitively what it is, and we did this so quick. So if someone was to say, "Well, what's the worst thing you can cook in a pit barrel?" And honestly, I think the video might still be up. I don't know if we got rid of it or took it down, but you know, we thought that I've never cooked anything that wasn't just delicious in the pit barrel. That being said, we said, okay, hey, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Let's do a corned beef in the pit barrel, and let's, you know, that'll be a good video to do. So we did it. I'm wearing this green shirt, you know, and it was a full on production video. Is one of the ones we, you know, we intertwined with. So it wasn't, you know, done on the cheap. It was, you know, script laid out, teleprompter, you know, just, you know, the key points and doing it upright, and cooked this thing and had never cooked one before. Just assumed it was going to be great. Cooked it and tasted the thing, and it was awful. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what in the world, you know, if this is something must have happened, like, what'd you guys do to this thing when I wasn't looking? And so I would say that is by far the most disastrous thing I've cooked. Now, you know, I just hung it and then later, you know, foiled it because of that, you know, it's basically brisket. And so to think that thing's going to, even though it's, you know, traditional, you know, corned beef, if you wrap it, it's much better. But, you know, that was probably one of the most, you know, kind of funny things that happened, because, you know, we're rolling, going a million miles an hour, production video and all that. We're like, we'll throw this in here, and I throw a green shirt on and we do this, and it ended up not being very good. So it was kind of embarrassing, but, yeah.
Did you soak it first?
It was, you know, traditional.
Well, they usually come in some.
Yeah, it's brine. Not pickled, but it's
yeah, it's a brine. Brine.
Yeah, it's brine. And so that's how it came and got it at the grocery store and thought, oh, well, this will be great. We'll take it out and throw some hooks in it. Because I thought, I mean, that, you know, boiling, you know, meat and things like that, it just, yeah, I'm, you know, charcoal grill and that'll be perfect.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not so.
Yeah, that's okay. We've all done it. So, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot that way, but I do like to hear those stories. But another question, really, it's been bothered. Is that snow outside on the ground?
No, it's, I think just probably the reflection, but it will snow here from time to time.
No, that's good. I mean, that's
it
always.
It does look like snow.
Yeah, it does kind of look like snow. That's what I asked. If you were going to give some advice to people starting in the barbecue business and they had a product, not a barrel cooker, but a different product, they came up with something and it's kind of unique and it's clever and it's fun and it works, most importantly, what would Noah Glanville's advice to them be?
Probably to see if they can align with a manufacturer that knows the business and it can scale properly. Yeah. You know, that's been our biggest, you know, that I shouldn't say struggle. That's just been our focus for many, many years. You know, we doubled for the first, I don't know, gosh, handful of years. So when you're doubling, I mean, your assholes and elbows trying to keep up and find the next, you know, facility that can do it and keep up and materials. And it's just a logistic, full-time job. And so you end up, if you have a good product, you end up spending so much of your time really in operations versus sales and marketing and building the brand. So, and I still, you know, to this day, I still do a lot of stuff and, you know, have my finger on the pulse and operations and logistics and, you know, any, especially these days, if you're solely going off of what the spreadsheet, you know, the purchasing agent or, you know, whoever in the in the organization is reporting up to the CEO and saying, this is what we recommend. You've either been fired or you left with your tail between your legs, because you better be looking at it personally. I don't care how big a company you are. I mean, you could be some of the biggest, and those CEOs, if they're running it right, they've got their finger on the pulse.
Sure. So yeah. Last question for you, buddy. Amber ever walk into your office, put her hands on your desk, look you in the eye and say, what were you thinking?
I don't think she has to do that. You know, I don't think she has to do that exactly. You know, we work really well together, and I wouldn't have it any other way. We love working together, and that's also part of, you know, that's part of the story, you know, that the kids see their mom and dad working together. And you talk to some spouses and they say, oh my God, we'd kill each other. I couldn't stand working with, you know, him or my wife or something. And I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way. We know what's going on. And there's, you know, there's good things and bad things to that. The bad part is both of us know too much, and, you know, we got to say, hey, let's enjoy dinner. And you know, we don't have to talk about work. And we've been so many years at it that, you know, as far as that goes, but, you know, I know when, you know, I know the some of the biggest mistakes I've made in business and things that have cost money. And, you know, so
I understand. Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel Cooker. Again, Noah, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. Pitbarrelcooker.com. Or yeah, we saw on Amazon, but again, I always say, check the retailer locator and see if there's a place close to you that sells a product. There's a lot of them out there.
Excellent. Excellent. Noah, thank you. Thank you for your generosity for all my little charitable endeavors. And
you're welcome.
For Leanne there.
Yes.
We'll expect a full, to it. We will expect a full report, Leanne.
It just landed today, which is ironic that we're doing this the same day. I didn't even open the box yet. It's been like right before the show, and I wanted to tear into it, but I was like, I got to get set up. So I'm going to tear into it now.
Oh, there you go.
Well, good deal. And I don't know if you have my cell number, but I'd be happy to give it to you.
Don't do it while I'm recording. Don't do it. Wait till
it after, as soon as the mics go off. Okay. Because otherwise you're going to have all kinds of phone calls.
Yeah.
Maybe you want them.
I still get phone calls. My number is still the same that it was when we had the logo plate with my cell number on the cookers 14 years ago.
Really do that?
So every once in a while, I'll get phone calls, and that's okay. I know when they're calling, it's a customer that's been with us a long time.
Yeah, that's true. That's going to wrap it up for After Hours for Leanne and myself and Noah. We thank you for listening. Take care. Go out there and cook something on your pit barrel if you have one. If not, get one and try to cook on that. You will learn. It's easy and fun. Until next week, I'm JT for Leanne. Follow our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. And take care, everybody. Thank you.